and on us with on the phone with is another Michelle, Michelle Chosodowski, who's a professor from Canada. Welcome, Michelle.
Good evening.
Yeah, it's actually afternoon here. I guess it's evening. Yeah, I saw a piece you you wrote about the CIA ties to the Osama bin Laden. What is the background of Osama bin Laden that the U.S. seems to be now focusing on?
Well, first of all, I think it's important that people in America realize that barely a few hours after the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, the Bush administration had already decided, without supporting evidence, that Osama bin Laden and his organization were the prime suspects. And this has now become a pretext for, in fact, waging a war against a number of countries, because the former CIA director James Woolsey actually said that this was state sponsorship, implying the complicity of one or more foreign governments. And in fact, we now see that this is official, with approval of the U.S. Congress, giving carte blanche to the president to launch a war without supporting evidence as to who the terrorists are, and so on and so forth. Now, I've been doing research on these, on insurgencies in Central Asia and the Balkans, and I think, first of all, we have to understand that Osama bin Laden, if anybody is hosting, okay, we're talking about those who host, okay, those who host terrorists, but in fact, to use the words of William Safire in the New York Times, those who host terrorists, but in fact, those who are hosting terrorists is the CIA, because bin Laden started out during the Cold War working for the CIA, and I mean, this is documented with piles of official documents and recognitions in the history of the CIA that Osama bin Laden was in fact working for the CIA, and that the CIA, together with Pakistan's inter-service intelligence, had recruited the Afghan jihad in a war against the Soviet Union. And they had trained them in bases in Pakistan and Afghanistan, and this was something deliberate, and they said later on, they acknowledged and said, yes, we did this, but we did this because we believed it was the right thing to do to defeat the Soviet Union. And essentially, analysts are now saying is, they say, yes, we did in fact support bin Laden in the early 80s, but since the end of the Cold War, we have severed all ties with him, etc. This is simply untrue, because the evidence suggests that the Central Intelligence Agency, using Pakistan's military inter-services intelligence, not only played a key role in training the Mujahideen in the 80s, but they have used the Mujahideen to wage their covert wars in the Balkans, in Central Asia, in Chechnya, in Kosovo, in Bosnia, and there's ample documentation that, in fact, and this is the irony, is that Osama bin Laden, number one terrorist, according to the FBI, is in fact a key instrument of U.S. foreign policy. He's part of the, in other words, he supports the KLA, the U.S. supports the KLA, and I mean, we've got ample evidence to suggest that this is the case. So what we're dealing with is a situation where the terrorist organization which is accused for these tragic assaults in New York leading to loss of life is without evidence, in fact, but that the organization and the individual Osama bin Laden is hosted by the Central Intelligence Agency. Well, and this is, I mean, pretty well documented that that is the case.
How do you know that he's still, you know, you said that he is, I mean, we can grant you that he is a creation of the CIA. I mean, the CIA, you know, paid him and supported him to fight the Russians in Afghanistan, but the Soviet Union. And but how can you say that he's still in?
Well, the evidence that I have is that he was channeling money to the Bosnian Muslim Army in the 90s. That was in the wake of the Cold War. He was helping the Kosovo Liberation Army also from the mid to the late 90s. There are Mujahideen fighting in Macedonia right at this moment, okay? And the KLA is in fact also supported by NATO and by the United Nations. So that in fact, it would appear that as far as these covert operations, let's say in support of the KLA, it just so happens that Osman bin Laden and NATO happen to be on the same side. If you look at the statements made by Senator Lieberman about the KLA, I mean, they say the KLA, this is great, the KLA, they're for freedom, etc., etc. Yeah. We support the KLA. Now, how come is Osman bin Laden also supports the KLA? Okay, if you look at the situation in Chechnya, now the two main Chechen rebel armies, respectively led by Commander Shabil Bazayev and Emir Katab, we're talking about an estimated 35,000 strong. Now, where are they trained? They're trained by the Pakistan Inter-Service Intelligence. But Pakistan Inter-Services Intelligence is, in fact, very much linked to the CIA, okay? And what that really means is that the CIA is using the Pakistan military intelligence apparatus as a go-between, training the Mujahideen, using money from the Gulf states, to then wage these wars against the former Soviet Union, essentially against Russia and against Yugoslavia. And as far as Chechnya is concerned, and I mean, there's a lot of documentation by analysts to that effect, is that these two major rebel leaders, they were trained in Pakistan, and they were trained essentially in camps which had been established by the CIA and the Inter-Services Intelligence already in the 80s.
So you think this is just a charade that Pakistan is going to cooperate with the U.S. to crack down on Laden?
This is absolute, I mean, of course it's an absolute charade, because Pakistan is, as you say, intimo amigo, okay? Pakistan's inter-service intelligence is like a, you know, it's like a McDonald's. It belongs to the CIA. They've got a whole apparatus there. What they're doing is they support the terrorists, and then those terrorists go and wage these covert wars, and now they're saying that these terrorists don't belong to them somehow, and they're going to go after them. It's an absolute. I mean, the whole thing is a complete fabrication. The evidence is so ample that the Pakistani intelligence is in fact a relay for the CIA, and nobody denies this. Actually, I mean, you go back to the major study by Diego Kodalev and Selig Harrison out of Afghanistan, the inside story of the Soviet withdrawal. It's a classic. Okay. And you go back to other analyses of people who have studied these areas. We know that the Pakistan intelligence is playing a double role. On the one hand, it is linked up to the Taliban and is linked up to Osama bin Laden, supporting them, funding them, overseeing them. And on the other hand, that who is calling the shots in the background? It's the U.S. intelligence. It's the CIA.
It goes back to Casey, right? There's a book by Ahmed Rashid, who's the correspondent for the Far Eastern Economic Review.
Yes.
He wrote a book on Taliban, Militant Islam, Oil, and Fundamentalism in Central Asia from Yale University Press. And he argues that Casey, back in the 80s, I guess, committed CIA support to a long-standing ISI initiative to recruit radical Muslims from around the world to come to Pakistan and fight with the Afghan Mujahideen.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. I mean, absolutely, yes. So, I think this is well established, but the thing is that those initiatives remained after the Cold War. They simply continued and went on and waged wars in Azerbaijan, in the Karabakh between Armenia and Azerbaijan. And in fact, I mean, if you want to look at all the intricacies of this, you'll find, in fact, sort of a replicate of the Iran-Contra gate. It's not by accident that they even sent in people like Richard Secord into Azerbaijan in the early 90s. There are all sorts of. I mean, the thing is, we are now, and this is where Americans have to ultimately address some fundamental issues in the wake of these dramatic events. And indeed, the whole world is mourning the victims of this tragedy, okay, including the Arab world, okay. But Bush only came to the site of the tragedy 4 days later, which is really, I think, a landmark in U.S. history, that a head of state a president would simply not even go there. On the day when everything was happening, at least to express his solidarity. But that's another issue. But the fact of the matter is that the president, the vice president, the members of Congress, the Senate, what have they been doing? They've been preparing war. And the question is, are the American people committed to entering a war? This is no small war. As a retribution, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. But when in fact the hidden agenda is something else. The hidden agenda is to militarize the Central Asian region, starting with Afghanistan, using Pakistan more or less as a launching pad with U.S. bases and troops, which is more or less the case. And then eventually, if you look at the map, you'll see, of course, that Afghanistan is really bordering on the former Soviet Union. And then it's also it's in proximity of the Chinese border. This is not a trivial war. This is a war of conquest. This is a major military operation which is being prepared and justified in relation to this occurrence, and tragic occurrence in New York, but on which we don't have any, we don't even know who are the culprits as yet, because the investigations haven't been completed, and we're assuming you look at the statements of Mayor Koch, the former mayor of New York, Mayor Koch, Lawrence Eagleburger. I've been following all these statements. They're all calling for war. They said, "Well, do it this time. We're not even going to have collateral damage. We're going to bomb civilians." I mean, we're not. I'm talking from Canada, but I mean, it is scaring, and I think it is very important that while we collectively express our solidarity in relation to those who have lost their lives, that we do not embark, we do not permit this government to embark on a war, okay? Because that brings us back. I mean, it doesn't bring us back, because when I say it brings us back to Vietnam, this war could be far more devastating. It affects the future of humanity.
How about this?
And I hope Americans will understand what lies beneath the rhetoric of the U.S. state at this moment.
You know, some of the media seems to be arguing, you know, like yesterday they were saying that the CIA was hampered by this new way of looking at, you know, like in a few years ago, in 95, I guess, they decided they would get rid of some people that had human rights abuses so that they don't deal with bad people. I mean, that. Is that a legitimate
What do you mean?
Analysis?
I don't understand.
Some of the conservative papers and right-wing Congress people were saying that we basically hamstrung the CIA because we got rid of these bad guys from the CIA that we were having as agents, and that we passed this new interpretation. The CIA Council, I guess, said we can't have these people on our payroll anymore.
No, but I mean, listen, I think all this is, of course, based on very sort of, it's not based on any kind of serious research of the structures of the CIA. I think at least, if I can make the statement as a researcher, that there is firm evidence that, to use the official type of terminology, that the CIA is hosting the Islamic Jihad and Osama bin Laden, indirectly via the Pakistan Inter-Service Intelligence. Not directly. They never operate directly. That would reveal the role they're playing. Okay? The CIA is hosting the terrorists. At least there should be some kind of congressional investigation or some kind... The background and knowledge is there. There are tons of people who know about this, okay? And who have done research on that, and their documents, and their declassified documents. But at least some questions should be asked before this country, the United States of America, embarks upon a war, okay? The people of America don't want a war.
Is it, so you think it's true the chickens have come home to roost?
I don't know what that means. I'm not sure. What does it mean?
It means that, you know, if the CIA trained these people, then they have come back and hit us.
Yeah, no, I know this sort of blowback type of thing. No, I don't believe that. No, I don't. The thing is, I don't think that what the New York Times is saying, I think there's some, I read some articles, they're saying, essentially, if I understand you correctly, okay,
right.
We trained these guys back in 80 to fight the Soviets, and now they're turning against us. You know, it's like the my angry son who's against his father. Somehow, you know, we helped these guys to wage the war, and they helped us, and so on, and we fought the Soviets. No, that's not what has happened. What happened is that we helped them in those days to fight the Soviets, and we continue to help them to destabilize the countries of the former Soviet Union and other countries in the Balkans and anywhere else. We still have links with these guys, and they're still now at another level. The FBI is doing its own investigation. It's a separate body from the CIA, and they have come up. They have branded him as a terrorist, but that's the contradiction. It's a whole series of. I mean, the U.S. state system is a very complex structure. It has different bodies and different institutions.
So it's not monolithic.
It's not monolithic, absolutely, but the problem, what the American people have to decide is A, first of all, do they believe what they're being told, okay?
Right.
Is bin Laden actually is he a bogeyman? Is he the real cause of this terrorist assault, yes or no? I think the American people, what they want is justice. They don't want war. Okay? They want justice. They want, they don't want to lead the. They don't want to give authorize the U.S. administration to embark on a war. And now, if they're saying who is harboring the terrorists, at least they should look at the history of this terrorist organization, this presumed, because we don't even know. At least that they should say, okay, Osama bin Laden, what's his history? Okay.
Right.
His history is that he's one of us. Initially, he's a CIA boy, okay? And we harbored him, okay? We harbored him, we hosted him. Now, if we harbored and hosted him, does that mean that the retribution should go against some institution of the U.S. government? I mean, these are obviously we can't simply infer from that. That this justifies going in and bombing Iraq, Iraq is being bombed in any case, bombing Iran because if you listen to the statements made, they're talking not about one country, they're talking about several countries. They're talking about Iran, they're talking about Afghanistan, they're possibly even talking about Syria and Libya, okay, because these are all part of what the United States calls the rogue states. I mean, that's sort of a Colin Powell's type of definition. And the problem with this kind of foreign policy formulation is that it leads us to destruction. And I just sincerely hope that people will see the light. And mobilize and say no, we don't want war, and that means in the streets of major cities in California, people start moving and saying no, we don't want war. We're against terrorism. We're against what happened in New York. We feel for the victims. Everybody felt for the victims. Okay.
Yes, for sure.
But we don't want war, and we don't want to kill civilians, and we don't want. And William Safire, when he says we don't care whether there's collateral damage or not, I mean this kind of discourse we have to have a sense of history where we are living history, and at the same time we can't distance ourselves from the events and say no, that's not the kind of thing that a nation such as the United States of America, the people of America, want to do. I don't know. I don't personally. I think this is, and this is the same thing as far as the NATO partners, that the 19 countries of NATO countries collectively, people not actually thinking twice as to the implications of what they're doing.
How about this analogy? You talk about history, but people are bringing up the analogy of Pearl Harbor.
It has absolutely nothing to do with Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor, everybody saw the movies, you know. Pearl Harbor was an attack by the Japanese Air Force, which was intent upon destroying a United States military base in Hawaii, okay? And what they wanted to do was to destroy the United States Air Force capacity, because they had a whole series of planes which were grounded there, and they bombed them, okay? There's nothing to do with Pearl Harbor, okay? And Japan was already at war, okay? That's a totally different, we were, 1941, that World War II was ongoing. It says nothing, it is a totally different event. In the case of Pearl Harbor, it was very clear that a foreign government, namely the Imperial Japan, had actually attacked United States territory and a United States military base. Okay. In this case, we're dealing with something entirely different, and we're not. First of all, if we're talking about an act of war by Afghanistan, let us recall that Afghanistan is the poorest country on earth. It is the poorest country on earth. You look at the United Nations classification. It is. There's a famine in Afghanistan right now, and that famine, incidentally, is due to years and years of civil war, and that civil war is in part the consequence of U.S. foreign policy. Let's not forget it from the late 70s. It's the support which has been given to not only to all the different sides which are fighting. It's a country which is where the central economy is based on the drug trade. Afghanistan doesn't reap many benefits from this drug trade because it's siphoned off. In fact, I would say that the analogy as far as Afghanistan is concerned is very similar to Colombia. And what the United States wants to do is to militarize Afghanistan with a view to eventually moving into or extending its sphere of influence into other areas. And that is the... Because that area is very critical with regard to its oil resources, on the one hand in the Caspian Sea Basin, but it's also the narcotics. It's two-thirds of the world's supply of heroin, which comes out of Afghanistan, and we're talking about a multi-billion dollar business, okay? $200 to $300 billion a year is what comes out of Afghanistan, and it's part of an integrated trade. So that's another aspect.
But do you think you said they should be investigated, the CIA? But you know, I don't think they're even going to be investigated for. I mean, people are blaming the CIA for not warning about this, right? But I don't think there'll be an investigation.
Well, the CIA. I mean, if the CIA knows anything, it certainly knows about Osama bin Laden. Why? They have been in permanent contact with them through the Pakistani intelligence services for the last 10 years. And even if they don't have direct contacts, they use their proxies in Pakistan they know exactly where they are. I mean, if they wanted to get rid of bin Laden overnight, they would have done it. They would have done it 10 years ago.
But so you think these people who did the attacks were freelancing or what? Or they're not tied to bin Laden?
I don't want to speculate on that. I don't know. They might be part of his network. They might be part of another network.
Uh-huh.
They could. We don't know. They could be even a domestic group. The evidence hasn't been presented conclusively. There's a presumption there's a presumption, and it's very dangerous, that these are people from the Middle East. We don't know. We're presuming. And what is, of course, very dangerous as well is that as a result of this tragic event, an entire population is being demonized, a bit like the way we demonized the Serbs. We're saying people from the Middle East, people of the Islamic faith, or people from Palestine or from Afghanistan or Iraq are being demonized and harassed and so on.
It seems
devastating.
Like, it seems like the FBI just went down the passenger list and picked out all the Arabic names.
It's happening here in Canada as well. It's happening in the schools, okay? And it's another dimension of this process. Now, eventually it might get to the point where not only Palestinians are demonized, but people who criticize the U.S. administration for waging a war might be demonized, okay? Which might include you and me. We're trying to stand up and see what's happening and come up with some assessment of this critical period in the history of the United States where the United States is preparing for war.
Well, on that note, I guess our time is up. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Dan.
And I'll email you. You have a website, right? Maybe you could give out the website.
Yeah, our website at the Center for Research on Globalization is at globalresearch.ca. It's in one word, globalresearch.ca.
Okay, thank you.
And most of these articles, including the one on Bin Laden, will be are posted there. I repeat it again, http://globalresearch.ca.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Take care. Bye-bye.
That was Michelle Chosudovsky, who's been on our show before. This is KCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. There's actually a listserv for people who want to discuss No War. And it's you can mail to Major Domo, M-A-J-O-R-D-O-M-O, at lafoodnotbombs.com. And in the text of the message, say subscribe No War, if you want to talk about, in this LA area, at least about the move towards war. This is Dan Zhang signing off for Subversity with Stefano Sensi. Thank you. Coming up, the Swope Transmission.